back to the phone lines. Paul, listening on WMCA in New York. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm looking forward to a resurrected body someday.
Amen.
So I hope.
Amen.
Something like that last caller was, I thought he was describing Harold Camping. A lot of similarities. My question for you was to know, when is it okay, and is it okay to stop giving life support to yourself? I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've been on kidney dialysis for 12 years, and the complications are getting more and more. It's just getting more and more difficult to treat myself, and no one I've ever asked has really been able to answer it. They sort of try to avoid answering it.
Well, I'm going to give you a direct answer. But I want to set it up in terms of principle for you. And I'm touched by your call. I'm not telling you this in a cavalier sense. And before I give you the answer, let me give you a personal anecdote. My dad died in 1997. And he had a fibrosing of the lungs, Paul, and it encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. So I literally watched my dad over a period of time suffocate to death. He couldn't grasp air. And he was once a pastor. He spoke. That's what he did. He opened up the Word of God for people, and here he was, unable to catch a breath. And I remember being with him as he went through some of the agonizing pain associated with this, and I said to him, Paul, I said to my dad, Dad, wouldn't you just like to go home and be with the Lord? And he said, yes, but every moment God gives me on this earth is precious. And so he fought for every ounce of life and used his life to the end for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And I think your call is indicative that you are interested in doing the same thing, but when you are going through the deep, dark night of despair, I can well imagine that you are in that place of saying, Lord, I want to have that resurrected body, as we all yearn for. But let me give you the principle. In Christian theology, the timing and terms of death are the providence of God alone. They're not ours. So a doctor is never permitted to usurp the prerogative of God. In other words, hastening death based on our own subjective feelings or judgments concerning the quality of our life is a direct violation of Scripture. Now, having said that, and this is not an equivocation, Paul, it's simply pointing this out in graphic terms. Passive euthanasia is different than active euthanasia. And it's morally permissible in that it allows the process of dying to run its natural course. So while active euthanasia is morally prohibited, it's morally prohibitive because it involves the taking of a human life. Passive euthanasia is different. It allows the dying process that we're all involved in to run its natural course. I'm in relatively good health, but I'm involved in the dying process. I'm going to eventually die. That is the state of all people. But I think the idea, Paul, is to continue recognizing that God leaves you here for a purpose and to say, God, I don't understand the purpose, but I do understand this, that I'm probably going to learn a whole lot more on my bed of pain than I am on a bed of ease. That's just the reality in life. We learn through pain. And I remember Charles Haddon Spurgeon saying, I am certain that I never grew in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain. Or C.S. Lewis, remember, said famously, God whispers to us in our pleasures and he speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us through our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So that's not to say that you should needlessly suffer. I mean, there are lots of ways in which you can manage pain today. But it is to say that you can't voluntarily take your life, because that's God's prerogative, and we don't want to step into his province or prerogative.
No, I'm dead set against that. Oh, that's a bad one. I'm pretty much against that. What I'm really want to know is how medically far do I have to take it? I mean, do I have to exhaust every option that there is to stay alive?
No, you don't. But I think what you have to realize is that God leaves you here for a purpose, and that you should fight for life rather than fighting for death.
Yeah.
God is doing something in you that's inexplicable.
I wouldn't have lasted this long, I think, if it weren't for him. I know that. I've even amazed all of my medical physicians. They can't believe I'm alive.
Well, you're alive as a testimony to them. And, you know, it's easy when you're on the mountaintop to be a testimony to the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ. But when you're in your condition, or if someone is in the condition that my dad was, it's much, much more difficult. And I'll tell you, if my dad, through his pain, didn't affect anybody but me, I'll tell you what, he affected me. I watched the genuine reality of his faith shine in the darkest night. And it is something I cling to in this day, and often empowers the ministry that I do on the radio, in my books, in speaking. So while many people would say his pain was needless, no, it was not. I saw the reality of Christ in my dad's life during those dark moments. And I'm sure the same thing is true with you. You're a testimony right now to me and millions of people that are listening in. You're a testimony to the people that are giving you health care. Be that testimony in the place that God has placed you, and recognize that God will never give you more than you can handle. And oftentimes, he doesn't give you the grace you need before you need it. He gives you that grace exactly at the moment that you need it. So keep trusting in God, and realize that I'm just a voice. You can legitimately say that I don't fully understand, and it's true. I'm not in your place. But I'm giving you principles. I'm not dodging the question, and I think the principles can be relied on.
No, I understand. I have a feeling I won't have to think, or I won't have to make a decision. It'll pretty much be done for me, because I have so many things which are just shutting down. And being a diabetic, it gets to the point where, if we give him this medication, it'll kill him. But if we don't give him the medication, it'll kill him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Paul, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Paul, for the fact that you have placed us together for such a time as this. I pray, Lord, that you would give him peace in the midst of his storm, that you would use his life as a testimony to your grace, that you would give him the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, once again, I thank you for the witness that he is to me and vicariously so many others at this very moment. Lord, give him your peace. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, Hank.
Paul, thank you so much for calling, and may the grace of God be with you. And please give us your information off air. I would like to have our staff pray for you, for God's continued guidance and courage. And I want to continue being a support to you in any way I can. So please let us know where you are and how you are. Let's stay up with you and make it a part of our staff prayer that God will continue to sustain you and make you a great testimony of his grace. Thanks for calling. It's hard to follow this up with anything else. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. We're looking forward to the hope of a resurrected body. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. The old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. That's our hope. So Christianity doesn't come along and give us a peaceful way to come to terms with death or with pain. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome it through the power of resurrection. That is our hope. I wrote a book called Resurrection. That's the whole theme of the book. We'll be right back with more of the show.